Merry Christmas to you all. Again, we want to welcome you to be with us this morning as we celebrate Christ's birth. We've been speaking for weeks now about his advent, his coming, and now he is here in our calendar. And as we know, he is here all the time with us. Our service and message are going to be a little bit shorter this morning. So we hope that you'll be able to use that time to fellowship and to spend time with your family. This message is the culmination of the past 4 weeks of our Advent series, which we called Finding Christ in the Characters of Christmas. The character of Christ in the characters of Christmas. If you've missed that series or any one of it, they mostly are available on our website, amherstbaptist.com. Again, the Christmas Eve service will be there midweek probably. Love to have you check in on that, just so you're up to speed on what we're doing and what God is teaching us here. But today I want to kind of give a quick recap of where we've been, because it takes us to where we're going for this morning's message. As we started the series 4 weeks ago, we started at the beginning of Advent. We discussed these characters that demonstrated character of Christ. And so we started with the wise men. And I told you at the time we were going to work backwards. And if you can see our nativity set over here, Mary and Joseph and the babe are on the table, and then the shepherds and then the wise men are way off there. Because as we said, they were kind of late to the party. They might have arrived where Jesus was living in Bethlehem probably 6 months to a year after his actual birth. But they were the last ones to be made aware specifically of his birth. And so we said, we're going to work backwards from them. They were at 6 months to a year late, so to speak. And all of this, is these characters were a part of the demonstration of Christ's birth, the actual event. The wise men were the last to arrive. As we move backwards in that scheme, we come to the shepherds, who on the very night of his birth were informed by the angels that a Savior had been born in the town of Bethlehem. And so the shepherds arrived. This was in Luke chapter 2. The wise men were in Matthew chapter 2. So we back up a little bit, back in Matthew again in chapter 1, and we hear about Joseph. Now, Joseph was informed of the birth of Jesus before it happened, but it was obviously part of that process, part of that event. And so about 6 months, perhaps, before Jesus was born, Joseph got word of it through a dream, and an angel came to him and say, "You will name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." Because Jesus means Yahweh saves, God saves. So if you back up even further, we're back in Luke again, in Luke chapter 1, and we find Mary, kind of the first actual person to be involved in that demonstration of Christ's birth, when she, before he was conceived, was informed by an angel, by Gabriel, that the Holy One to be born of her would be called the Son of God. And so we have the wise men looking for the King of the Jews, and the shepherds told that the Savior had come, and Joseph told that he should name him Jesus because he would save his people, and Mary being told that he would be called the Son of God. Not only was his birth demonstrated through those real people in real time, all throughout time, as we back up even further, we find that God has declared, he's made a declaration of Jesus' birth. And since we're going to work backwards, we'll start at the front, where the angels declared the angels declared to the shepherds that there was a Savior to be born. And so we find from the angels the what. What is this birth all about? It's about a Savior, not just for the Jews, but for the entire world. We back up even further. We've been speaking over these past weeks how many of these events that took place, the fact that he was born in Bethlehem, the fact that he was born of a virgin, all of those things had been prophesied before. So let's walk that chain backwards in all these declarations of Jesus' birth. About 550 years before Jesus' birth, the prophet Daniel shared that so many weeks after the proclamation to rebuild Jerusalem, so many weeks after that, Messiah the Prince would be born. And so from Daniel, we hear when. When is it going to happen? 7 weeks and 62 weeks after the declaration to rebuild Jerusalem. That's when the Messiah will come. And we found that to be about right. We didn't try to actually work it down to the actual dates, but within a generation, that number of weeks turns out to be when the Messiah actually came. About 100 years earlier than that, Isaiah, the prophet, he told us that a virgin would conceive and give birth to a son. And so he told us how it would happen. How would Jesus be born? Through a virgin. About that same time, the prophet Micah told us when he said that it would happen in Bethlehem, that a ruler would come from Bethlehem and a shepherd who would rule over his people and care for his people. And so that's 600 years, 700 years before Jesus was born. Go even further back, 1,000 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Nathan, in declaring to King David that he would always have a son, a descendant, on the throne, and he would have an eternal kingdom. And so we find out who, someone from the line of David, would be this Messiah. And Jesus fulfills all of this. 1,000 years beforehand, God declared what would happen. 2,000 years before Jesus was born, God made a promise to Abraham that all the nations would be blessed through him and through his descendants. And so we have the answer to why. Why would Jesus come? To bless all nations. Well, the story goes back, as you know, even further. If we go back to Genesis, we find out that there's going to be an issue between the serpent, Satan, and the seed of the woman, a virgin birth. But it goes back even further. Before the demonstration of Jesus' birth, before the declarations of his birth, there was a decision that God made. Scripture tells us in two different places that God made a choice before the foundation of the world. Before the world was created, God made a couple decisions, and here's what they are, and I want you to follow along with me. If you have your Bible, open up to Ephesians chapter 1. We looked at these verses last week, but let's look at them again from this perspective. What did God decide before the foundation of the world? And as you find that, let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that you have given us your word, and you have shown us what it is you're at work doing in the world. From creation to eternity in the future, even into eternity past, before the foundation of the world, you have told us what you were doing. We pray that you would open our eyes to it this morning, that our hearts would be stirred by it, and we would be challenged to follow you even more, that we would love you more. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So look at Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be in verses 3 through 6. I just want to read that passage to you. Listen for what things have been decided before the foundation of the world. Verse 3. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself, according to his favor and will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he favored us with in the beloved. So last week when we were talking about Mary, who was favored woman, you found favor with God. That same favor is told us here in Ephesians. The Apostle Paul tells us that we all, as believers, have received favor from God. And explains more of the why of Jesus' birth. Not so he could just bless all nations in kind of a general way, but for specifics. We, those who believe, were chosen in him to be holy and blameless. Through him, we were chosen to be adopted, to become part of God's family, to be adopted as his sons and daughters, to be loved by him, cared for by him, provided for by him, invited into a relationship with him that we cannot create, but only he can invite us into. All of this happened. That decision was made before the foundation of the world. Jesus came so that we could be holy and blameless, and so that we become God's sons and daughters. And without Jesus, without his birth, none of that can happen. Only because Jesus came can we have that opportunity for relationship with God. Turn now, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 1. Again, this particular phrase, before the foundations of the world. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. For you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, inherited from the fathers. The way everybody else used to live, you've been bought back from that. You've been redeemed from your empty way of life, inherited from the fathers, not with perishable things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. As a sacrifice, his blood was given to redeem us, to buy us back from that empty way of life. He was destined when? Before the foundation of the world. But was revealed at the end times, at the end of the times, for you who through him are believers in God. We can't even believe in God without Jesus. Through him we believe. Through him are believers in God who raised him, God who raised him, Jesus, from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Without Jesus, without this nativity, without this advent of Christ coming and being born as a baby, there is no opportunity for us to have a relationship with God. We would not have faith and hope in God without Jesus coming, without him having been chosen to die in our place. It just doesn't work without Jesus. He was chosen to give his blood to redeem us from our empty way of life. Without God, our life is empty. He is the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things. If we're just kind of moping along on our own, there's no fulfillment in that. There's no victory in that. There's no goal in that. There's no accomplishment in that. Our life is empty without that relationship with God. To be clear, the reason why, we heard when, we heard how, we heard where, the reason why Jesus was born was so he could die. The reason why Jesus died, or the reason why Jesus was born, why we celebrate Christmas is because Jesus will die in our place. And we celebrate that at Easter. You're certainly welcome to visit with us then and celebrate that as well. But let's look at these other scriptures back again. Luke 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He came so he could be the Savior, and he can only be the Savior as he pays for our sin. Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's why he came. And in Ephesians 1:5, in love he predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself. God has done all of this. From the wise men all the way back to before the foundation of the world, he has chosen us that we might be adopted for himself. So as we celebrate Christmas today, let's keep in mind that before the demonstration of Christ's birth, before the actual events, before all the declarations that it was going to happen, which you can only declare it's going to happen if you have control to make it happen, and God does. Before that, there was a decision that it would occur, that he might be our Savior, that he might restore us into relationship with God. Christmas is not just about the birth of a baby. Nor is it about a young couple who happens to be pregnant in an awkward way. It's not about shepherds and wise men, and it's not really even about getting and giving gifts, except that God gave Christ. It's all about a God who loves his people and is carrying out his plan to demonstrate that love. So let's reverse our flow of time now. We're starting out now before the foundation of the world, and we have God choosing us to believe and choosing that we will become his sons and daughters, choosing that we will be holy and blameless, choosing Jesus Christ to come to make that possible. We pass through the years of declaring that it will happen, when it will happen, where it will happen, how it will happen, and why it will happen. We pass through the lives of real people through Mary, this young woman whose response to God was, I'm the Lord's slave, may it be to me as you have said. Through this young man, Joseph, who although in his heart he thought, you know what, I ought to just divorce her quietly. I don't want to shame her, but I don't really want to have part of this anymore. And the angel came to him in a dream and said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. What's conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. It's God's plan all along. And Joseph said, I'll do it. He woke up from his dream and he married her. That's how Scripture tells us. We pass through the shepherds, hearing of this miraculous birth, going to see it and telling everyone. And we hear the wise men who had these scriptures, all these declarations. They looked at some of them they had in their hands and they looked at and said, there's going to be a birth, a king of the Jews. And they were diligent to go look for it. So we come screaming up to today, where we are the latest to hear of Jesus' birth. It's been foretold, it's happened, it's been proclaimed since, and now here we sit with this information. What will we do with it? Will we be humble as Mary? Will we be obedient as Joseph? Will we be diligent like the wise men to pursue it, to find it? Will we be faithful like the shepherds to declare it to others? When we look at the character of Christ and the characters of Christmas, we're looking at examples for us to follow because Jesus wants us to be like him. God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Will we do that? Over these next weeks and months, even years, because there's a lot of information that we don't have yet, over these next weeks and months, we're going to be studying this together as a church family, and I invite you to be part of that all the time, every week. Be engaged, be pursuing, be diligent, be faithful, be obedient as we grow to be like Christ. Please join us as we get into that. Could there be anything more important than knowing that the God who created all things loves you and wants you to have a relationship with him? Could there be anything better than that? So as we celebrate Christmas today, remember that Christmas is not just one little spot of time, but it's a point in time that's part of this overall eternal plan in both directions, before the foundation of the world and what God wants to carry us to in eternity. It's just one little spot, but it's an important spot. Let's celebrate it well. It's a spot that assures us of the reality of God's plan. Let's pursue all of his plan for us as a church, for us individually, for God's glory. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have called us to be your children and you decided before the foundation of the world to make that possible through Christ. You've called us to know you. You've made it known to us. And there might be some here who are questioning, well, maybe that's not for me. Well, Lord, I feel as though if you've got them here to hear it, it's for them. It is your call to them, your drawing of them to understand that you love them and that Jesus is here for them as Savior. Lord, may we declare it boldly, may we share it well, may we be accurate with your word, may we never give anyone an opportunity to undercut what we say because we've not done it well. Lord, may your name always go forth accurately, boldly, clearly, lovingly, and may we represent you well to the world that they would be drawn to you. That your kingdom would be built, your name would be glorified, and you would receive joy in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.